Welcome to the Dead Pixel Society podcast, the photo imaging industry's leading news source. Here's your host, Gary Peugeot.
The Dead Pixel Society podcast is brought to you by Media Clip, Advertech Printing, and Independent Photo Imagers.
Hello again, and welcome to the Dead Pixel Society podcast. I'm your host, Gary Peugeot, and today we're joined by Arai Bazar from Imagely in Berlin, Germany. Hi, Arai. How are you today?
Hi, Gary. I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. You know, it's funny, as we were talking before, we've already had kind of a long pre-discussion before this, and I just thought, you know, your story, the company story, was so interesting that I said, well, we got to have you on the podcast. Now, here we are a few days later actually doing the podcast. But for those people who weren't listening in on our private conversation a few days ago, tell me about, you know, how you and how you got started with your company.
All right. So that dates back to, I don't know, 2010, something like that. So okay. I co-founded an agency called Nine Elements back in the days, and we were always focused on, you know, like everything in between design and technology. Sure. Before it actually became super cool. And then we actually started also like getting a deep interest into product development. Mm-hmm. And so we tried different things in our careers. And one was a Twitter sharing service. So back in the days, Twitter didn't have this feature natively in their app. So they were relying on third-party services. We were not the first, but we thought when we looked around and looked at, into the different services, we thought, you know, you can design them much better. And we also had like a really cool domain, which was Imagely. Yeah, so we created this Twitter photo sharing service, which actually really took off in terms of like eyeballs. Like we had millions of users and a lots of views. But yeah, I think everyone can figure out how this story ended. Basically, the lesson learned was never rely on a third party ecosystem. You know, like don't build your business on an ecosystem because that is just too fragile.
For those who don't remember, what specifically happened was that Twitter said, yeah, we'll just build that into our own platform. And it kind of disenfranchised, if you will, TwitPic and Imagely and all these other services.
Yeah, they did it in a quite aggressive way. So first of all, they built their own the capability themselves. And to be honest, right, I'm not criticizing that because to be fair, I have to criticize them for not including that earlier.
Right.
But they also like called us and said, you know, we're going to restrict your API. This is quite unfair, isn't it? Yeah. You built your business on top of that. I mean, to be fair, we really didn't build a business. It was a side project. So we took it with a grain of salt, but we were like, okay, whatever, let's do something else. And then, yeah, basically, Imagely was like dormant for a specific period of time. Mm-hmm. And then we had to like build a photo editor in a project for a customer. Mm-hmm. And then we basically built it in a way so that we can reuse it across different products and projects we had. Mm-hmm. It was really important for us, this reusability component. And that was quite a good idea, I guess, because after that, we open sourced part of it. We got some traction. We had some, you know, smaller customers knocking on our door. You know, we had the first licensing deals, then customers became bigger. And eventually we were like, okay, this is no longer a side hustle. We should do that full time. So together with a few people from Nine Elements, we basically, yeah, spun out of Nine Elements and yeah, reuse the brand Imagely because we thought that's a great fit because we also knew it's not only going to the photo editor. We want to go somewhere else, actually. Mm-hmm. To a much broader spectrum in terms of what we want to deliver for customers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Imagely was a great fit. So we just use that. Every now and then there are still people coming to me and say, yeah, I know that Imagely brand, like back in the days. And we're like, yeah, there's a good possibility.
Back in the prehistoric days when back when Twitter was Twitter and Elon before Elon. So you know, I think there's an interesting thread here that I kind of want to pull on a second. Do you think your experience as an agency of kind of what you wanted, what you kind of were looking for in a creative service informed your development better than, let's say, some guy coding in a basement who thinks he knows what people want?
Yeah, in many ways it did. And then again, I also think that from an agency perspective, it's always very trivial to say, okay, we actually want to go product, but then I see so many people failing with that approach as well.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So there is different challenges that you have, but definitely you're slightly more informed. And you can start using your own dog food, right? That's the most important thing. And you know, like my learning was actually, because we did many different things. So we did the photo sharing service. One of our, you know, designers created a hugely successful SoundCloud app, but we had the same problem then, you know, they shut it down because third-party service, terms of service, et cetera. And we were more successful than they were.
Right.
And I can give you more examples, but in the end, my learning was, so these are all like domains that are very customer centric, but as an agency, your asset is basically more B2B, right? You have your developers, you have your product people. Mm-hmm. So this is the audience that you should know pretty well and you should be connected with. So yeah, from there on, you can definitely get more momentum faster than probably if I was like working in my basement as a solo developer.
Right, right. So when you say you came up with a photo editor, what was that time frame and what did that entail? Because right now that means something else completely, right?
It might be, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, was it just rudimentary cropping and resizing? Yeah. And what was that like 1.0 product? What was that?
Well, the 1.0 product was just a web editor, and it was just cropping, transform, like rotate the image, then filter. Obviously, filter was back then a really hot thing. Adjust, right? Brightness, contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I think we already had like text, so you could overlay text on stickers maybe, mm-hmm. but that's it. That's mm-hmm. pretty much everything that we offered, but that was already enough, right? Because we mm-hmm. already took off a heavy load of, you know, a product's developer mm-hmm. because they need to, if they build it themselves, that it would take them a month. Mm-hmm. And with our solution, it took them, you know, just a couple of lines of code. So it was.
And obviously you're constantly revving it and improving it. Whereas, absolutely. they don't have the bandwidth to do it because they're doing 17 other things.
Exactly. So we added iOS native and also Android mm-hmm. SDKs. Mm-hmm. And then we became the first solution in the market that was cross-platform and, you know, like consistent across all platforms and all these different things that helped us a lot, you know, like boost our solution. And then basically a couple of years later, we like thought, why not adding video into the mix? So we actually also had an MVP for video, right? It was very, very basic. So it was basically the photo editor, but it had a trimming function.
Right.
So we could add all the photo editing things like filter, etc. But it was not like the most useful video editing tool, but it was useful enough for us to see if there is demand. And yeah, if there was, and we grew from there quite a bit.
So you're primarily providing technology to other companies. Now, you know, some people who aren't familiar with that business will ask, like myself, you know, so how do you make money doing that? You know, is the license fee? Is it a call per project? Is it? I'm just curious whether you have economics, because obviously you got a team, you got to pay them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to constantly be developing and creating new things. And we're going to talk about some of those cool things you're developing. But I'm just curious about the business side, because it's very different than what you were doing before in terms of a business model.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Photo retailers, energize your sales with ShareMe Chat, the proven texting platform. Using chat to text on your website keeps your customers connected and buying. See us at Pro and IPI to find out why dealers using ShareMe Chat close more sales without adding staff. Find out more at shareme.chat.
Yeah, so the way it works, we take a licensing fee, but the pricing varies a lot. Mm-hmm. Depending on customer size, the use case, and, you know, sure. like how much engagement their users have with the SDK. But mm-hmm. we're kind of pioneers in our field, right? There is mm-hmm. not a lot of different SDK companies that have grown right. to a specific size. In the PDF space, there is a few already. So they were actually earlier than us. But generally, like coming up with, you know, the right pricing and all these things are quite challenging, because there is not like a book that you can read and then everything is clear. Rather than that, it's a lot of experience. It's a lot of talking with customers and really, yeah, basically poking your finger deep into kind of this idea. What is the value of your product within the context of the customer? Because it, right. I mean, we're not winning if the customer overpays and churns after 2 years because nobody's using it, or like, you know, because they're just paying too much and because right. the economics don't work for them. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we also don't want to be like underpaid, right? Like be right. the ones
exactly.
And we had like actually cases where, you know, we had customers that were basically just wrapping a tiny bit around our SDK and selling that in the app store. So basically they were just reselling our solution into a different market, which we usually prohibit, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that's not super legal or super.
No, it's not. Like, you know, people don't read the terms of service. And so we saw that, and then we're like, okay, they make like 50K per month off our SDK. Mm-hmm. It's a good understanding of, you know, how much value we can actually provide into right. specific markets.
Right. Now, have you done anything like that with a direct-to-consumer app just to see how that, or do you just only work with B2B type things?
No, I mean, we did a few experiments because right. that doesn't hurt at all. But anything else, like, you know, we want to be focused right now on just one thing, and that one thing is already quite enough.
Right.
And, you know, the other thing, it would be just a huge new thing and a lot of workload, a lot of defocusing. And I think that wouldn't be the right approach for now.
Now, you know, I don't want to get into like going through your catalog, but you kind of have, at least from my sector in the industry, kind of like all the bases covered, right? You've got a kind of a design tool, a camera tool, a photo editor, and a video editor. Can I kind of walk through where those fit for different customers?
Yeah. So maybe it helps to give you, again, a little bit more of a context.
Sure.
And how where we're transitioning right now. So we started with the photo editor, then we added video editor into the mix. And eventually we basically went back to the drawing board because, you know, we had lots of customers, we had experience, but then we also thought, what's next? And then
right. There
was like in my team, there was a lot of kind of thoughts into basically building a technology that allows us to build different editors in quite, you know, in a short time.
Right.
Because we understood that, first of all, the requirements change from industry to industry. So print right. is one thing, but then you look into social media, it's another thing.
Right.
While we see there is always a common space as well, right? So if we kind of fix or solve the common problems and then create more individual solutions for different industries,
sure.
then we would have a much better market fit. And then we would also be more in the, what I always say is like the center of the customer's problem. Like a photo editor is always nice to have, and there is value in that. But ultimately, if you take out the photo editor, your business will still go, right? Except that you're one of those that are just wrapping everything around our SDK. But with our new solution, we could be sitting right in the center of a customer's product. We can take off so much work, and it can be templating, layouting. It can be complex workflows. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to have like this flexibility, but also like the vision was really to carve out these specific use cases, starting from printing to like social media, but then create more specialized, more, you know, mm-hmm. products that just fit better into these specific problems, right? So
right.
For example, also like we had lots of customers that came to us and said, you know, we want to build something like TikTok or Instagram Reels, Stories. And I definitely see that. I mean, not that you necessarily want to compete with TikTok, but you could do this for a specific niche.
Oh, yeah.
Or you could actually do this for a market tech, which provides basically content for these platforms.
Or you want to do like a branded experience, right? Let's say you're a theme park.
Yeah.
And you want to have this built into your theme park app, for example.
Absolutely. Exactly. And so the solution we had before, like with a video editor, for example, was very generic. It would be a good MVP probably for most of the customers. But then, you know, kind of to take it to the next step, that was that is what we did, right? And now you can really, like, we have a new release coming up in a couple of days. It will be basically this new SDK with, you know, video support for mobile, and it will be an amazing upgrade, right? And the things that you can build from there are just so much more than what we actually already offered with the video editor.
Sure. I mean, obviously, you know, for a lot of, you know, my audience, print is the thing. And so you've got, you know, different types of print, but you've also got, like, you know, non-standard print, like postcards and, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. And can you talk a little bit about kind of how you see print falling within your world of being on all these different communication platforms that all have kind of different requirements, different use cases, and different, you know, monetization models?
Yeah, the good thing about print is the business model is clear, right? Mm. We have many customers in exciting new spaces, but with these spaces, it's not clear yet how they will make their money.
Right.
They have exactly. the money, but it's not because they have a working business model, but because simply there is a lot of hype and they do really exciting new stuff. But with yeah. print, it's very solid. You know exactly how that game works. And every time somebody sells a print, there is money in the game, right? So this is a proven business model. And for us, of course, like when we start partnering with customers in that space, it's easier to have, you know, all sorts of negotiations because, like, the value that we provide is clear. Now, depending exactly on what we will deliver. And the second thing is also that I've seen that a lot of the activity in the printing space is also, like, going towards, like, yeah, instant gratification of basically your content, right? So we're talking about templates a lot. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a very simple way to basically put your content into something and make it much more appealing.
Right.
It can be on a B2B level, but it can also be very consumer. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we hook in with our technology, because we believe that we can, you know, offer quite a simple way for customers to basically own these kind of trends and basically capitalize on what's going on. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I also think that design has become much more important to the printing industry as well, and very, very underrated still, right?
Right.
I see some, you know, players in the printing market, and I see the templates they basically offer. It's just horrible. Like, it's... looks really like...
No. Don't mince words. What do you really think?
Well, that's what I really think. I think there is...
Don't sugarcoat it. Don't sugarcoat it.
There is room for improvement, right? So I really think that there is a lot of potential in the quality of the content, the presets that you provide for your customers. A lot of room for improvement, right?
Yeah.
And yes, it's not like a very simple thing, because many customers are now acquainted with, like, very KPI driven processes for their products.
Yeah.
And I think it's not always helpful, because the quality of your product does not necessarily immediately, you know, create better conversions. It creates right. something else. It creates, like, longer lasting customer relationship. It creates a huge brand value. And eventually, I'm pretty sure it creates also, you know, like, a bigger baskets for your customers, but you have
well,
to.
Well, it's one of those things where you have to look at it from a standpoint of, which I think people are getting away from mainly because of urgency to generate revenue, is sort of, you know, the old chestnut of the lifetime value of a customer, right? You know, if you get someone to download your app, you know, I think there used to be a belief, you know, we're going to build a relationship with that person over time. And now it's like, no, I need to make as much money off that person as soon as possible, because they're going to probably delete it and move on to something else.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there is, like, a lot of dynamics in place. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you still know there is people that need printing. But yeah, sure. I think one thing that we're actually doing in some ways, we're commoditizing this market a little bit in a way that, you know, a smaller company today is now able to use our technology and provide really great editing experiences mm-hmm. for, you know, like, more complex printing products.
Sure.
And also like the print on demand space has also helped commoditizing that space, sure, because now it's easy to do like an MVP and just see if, you know, the combination of things and maybe smart marketing or like a smart targeting would help you actually build a business. It's probably not going to be a $1 billion business, but it's still going to be something, right? And that we see that actually, we see customers doing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if commoditization is the word. I look at it as more of creating more useful tools for people so they do more of it, right? You know, it's sort of like the idea behind, you know, the one-click shopping that Amazon pioneered, right? You know, e-commerce was very difficult before that. And so people did not shop online as much. As it became easier to transact, people bought more online. And I think people will create more online if all the tools are there that they want when they want them. And they have access to the templates they want and the content they want and the features they want, no matter the app they're in, right? So they could be in a cheap prints app and it still has the same features as maybe a more premium app that does, you know, aims at a higher demographic, right? And I think that sort of approach helps everybody, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. There's really, again, also like last time I've been to, you know, different events where I had like lots of conversations with people from the printing space. There was like this idea of storytelling, which is actually not a new idea, right? Which is just, I mean, always follow the same concept. You want deep engagement. So you have to create products that do more than just, I think in every business, the same thing. How do you build a moat, right? It's difficult to build a moat if you just allow people to tap on a button and then it prints a photo. Well, I mean, that's nice, but what else can you offer?
Right. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of your newest thing that kind of seeing that, you know, this full-blown kind of creative platform. It's really like taking aim, I think, at some of the players that have kind of pioneered this approach. So you could actually have this within your site. Let's say, for example, you were a B2B printing site. So you could have this full-blown marketing tech platform within your site, right? And it's not just print, it's, you know, creating social media graphics, it's all these other things, right?
Yeah. So with this solution, basically, you can do all the different things. You can have a very simple photo editing solution, but you can also have, you know, template-based workflows. Then you can have an authoring system for your own backend where designers can create the templates. So you can make it quite easy, like to update new content, push new content into, you know, the customer-facing editor. You can do automations. You can just kind of take the editor entirely out of the equation because this SDK is headless first. So every function that we have is basically available through an internal API. And we're right now just exploring what's possible with that approach as well, because I think, yeah, we just built like this really sophisticated technology. And it took us quite a while.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's extreme, but it's got a lot to it.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, like one challenge is that we started quite broke with it, right? It was like this design editor. And then we started focusing on different industries to basically improve the offering and the packaging and the out of the box experience for developers, the configurations that we have. And again, like the workflows, which are super interesting to us, like, because I think this is something that we see again and again, whether you're in the printing industry or you're like doing market tech or ad tech or, you know, whatever digital tech you actually do.
Right.
Templates and pre-configurations and design itself has become an important asset, right? And how do you facilitate the creation of that? And like when I talk to some like players in the printing industry, like they're super frustrated because they're not able to push new content into their system easily. It's just a huge pain, a huge, huge pain. And it takes a lot of time, different stakeholders. And it could be so easy, right? It could be just clicking on a publish button and then it's out.
Right.
And then you're able to cater much better to kind of the needs of today, because I think that type of content needs to be refreshed. It needs to stay up to date. Then we're like having the big problem or this challenge of different formats, right? I have just one design, but I want to create like 16 different variations for 16 different aspect ratios. How do I do that? And
exactly.
These are the problems we're trying to tackle with our system.
Yeah, that is one of the things that I think is, you know, a challenge today for anybody, either in marketing or print or whatever, is, you know, people are consumers, end users, right? Are multi-platform, right? In the sense that, you know, they're on this social media platform, they're using this social media app, you know, TikTok, Instagram, whatever. And all of them are just slightly different. And even like the visual language is different, right? I mean, you don't, if you see like TikTok, how people express themselves on TikTok, it's not the same as how they may express themselves on Facebook. Yeah. Right. It's a different visual language. And, you know, someone who's trying to reach all those people has got to figure out all the different ways to communicate in the appropriate venue. Cause last thing you want is, you know, kind of doing the, Steve Buscemi, hey, fellow kids kind of thing. You remember the meme where the guy is like, the older kid trying to be with the younger guys kind of thing. So
yeah.
And then good you on you for trying to approach that.
One thing that, came to us more recently is because we started now video support with this new platform as well, right? So that came into the mix after we started, you know, the first phase was basically the design editor, the templating, etc. Now we're adding like video as an overall functionality with a lot of detail to it. And now we see many of our customers, they start like saying, okay, this is actually super valuable, right? Because we're not talking about specific formats, but we're also talking about different media that runs in that format. So if I have a TikTok, I probably want to do video, while, you know, if I'm doing something stationary, well, I can't, but I still want to have one system that helps me owning that all. That's probably not now the printing industry, but again, a lot of marketing tech is really relying on that, because if you look into a brand usually does both things. There is always need for print, but there is so much more need for all the digital, you know, to serve all the digital channels in a most efficient way, like, you know, without any clutter, without, you know, getting yourself in the way. So this is where we also see a huge trend, and where we're kind of really excited, because we're really well positioned. We have, you know, one platform that is able to basically serve all these different formats in the best way.
Well, I think what's happened is, you know, marketing or printing or whatever you want to call it, right, was sort of like, it was print first, right? I'm going to come up with a printing piece, whether it's, you know, a magazine ad, if it's a postcard, if it's whatever, and then they got into digital, right? And now it's kind of flipped the script, where people are tending to think digital first and then print is almost an after. So I think it's important, whether it's either printing pictures or printing ads or, you know, commercial pieces, is that at least print is part of that equation through a platform like yours, right? It's not something else you do. It should be part of your everything you do, right? It's sort of like, you don't put all of your pictures, you don't print every single one of your pictures. You store them online, you share them on social media, but printing them should be part of that conversation, and it should be done very easily without having to jump to another app or change your UI or do something completely freaky just to get to, you know, it should be as easy as the, again, the one-click shopping.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think there is also interesting spillover effect, because, you know, there was a time when templates became quite popular for stories.
Yeah.
It was when Unfold, I think, was one of the first apps, and it was that easy. It was just like basically what you would consider as frames, you would put your own photo in it, but it was so simple and it was such a good experience that we also thought, why don't you provide that for print, right? And then eventually you could see some players in the printing industry moving more towards this kind of simplistic idea, like create your photo, your postcard, or your greeting card, just in a very similar way, like, you know, very simplistic template, cool template though, right? Like it has to look modern and nice.
Right.
But it's very similar UX. And suddenly you feel like these two areas, which are actually not very close, right? You have like social media space and you have the printing space, but still there is like this this common thing, and you can take one experience and basically really like project it to the other. Mm-hmm. In some cases, it makes a lot of sense and it can be very beneficial.
Right. So one thing we haven't talked about is sort of like the hot button in the industry. And, you know, I know we know we have a crazy amount of time, but I kind of want to talk about where you see sort of the impact of AI in kind of the future of what you're doing, because it's obviously a tool a lot of people are using, but what's your approach to it?
Yeah. So we are not going to release yet another model to this world. I think there's companies that focus on it and they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And obviously data, you know, we don't own that much of data that we could really do that.
Right.
But we don't really need to do this, because I see one huge opportunity, which is, so we have all these different capabilities with AI. We have a automatic background removal. You can vectorize using AI, but then you can have also like generative AI. So you can create text or you can create images.
Right.
But I think the interesting part comes when you mix them, when you bring them together.
Sure.
Into like a sophisticated workflow that consists of different AIs sequenced in a way that it does a job.
Sure.
Mostly automatically, right? So, and this is something where we are really gearing towards, like to basically have the capabilities in our SDK to easily hook in any third-party API, any generative AI, any specialized AI, either into the editor itself. So, you know, so you have like a button or a panel, like we make everything extendable, but also in terms of the automations that you can then basically trigger. Mm-hmm. So this is really something where we already started, like we have a few examples already. We have a beautiful showcase page where you can explore these different things that you can build with our solution, but I'm pretty optimistic that in a couple of next month we will show some really cool stuff. And again, it's not gonna be like Imagely, like built this great I don't know, generative image model thing. No, we're just going to scout what's there, what's best in class. We're gonna partner with a few players in the space. We're gonna put things together, and I'm pretty sure it will be very, very it will provide a lot of value for different stakeholders.
Making it usable.
Yeah, accessible and usable both, right?
Which is sort of your thing. It seems to me like that's sort of your underlying value proposition, is sort of, you know, taking these things and making them usable.
Yeah, and there's like one key observation that we also have, like there is lots of really interesting innovation research coming. And, you know, like on Hugging Face or, you know, GitHub, you see new projects popping up every day. But you cannot really use it. You have to be very, exactly. very, very, very techy to start using it. And then even if you start using it, it's in a very isolated environment.
Right.
And what we are actually doing now is when you see a new Hugging Face model, I mean, it's not from them, but it's at Hugging Face. If you see that coming, then you can basically create a plugin in a with a few kind of lines of code. Mm-hmm. And then have this in an editor environment and start using it productively. Or you can, again, use it in a sequence of different things.
Right.
So all depending on what capability we're talking of, obviously.
So if someone wanted to learn more about all the wonderful capabilities you have at Imagely, where can they go to get more information and where can people connect with you?
So we have a beautiful website. It's img.ly. But we also have a showcase page, so just search on our navigation for showcases. It's I think in the product navigation part, and then you'll see a lot of different kind of configurations of our SDK, different use cases, and it's a really very visual and very hands-on approach to basically explore the technology. And then just reach out to us. We have contact us buttons everywhere. And we're super happy then to discuss, you know, the use cases and the problems that you want to tackle.
Great. Well, listen, it's always great to talk to you, Arai, and I hope to chat again with you soon.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Pixel Society podcast. Read more great stories and sign up for the newsletter at www.thedeadpixelssociety.com.